Okay, well, I am going to be somewhat brief this morning, and I want to talk about this idea, and I love the songs that we sang this morning, especially that one that talks about awaken us and this awakening that's happening. And what I want to share this morning just kind of is on this idea that the Lord will sometimes awaken something in us, or He will sometimes cause something to come alive within us. And then we have a decision to make at that point. What are we going to do with that? Like, let me give you an example. My grandparents, as you know, served as missionaries in the mountains of southeastern Kentucky for 35 years. Well, they were in their 50s when God started to awaken this desire in my grandparents to actually move down to Kentucky. My grandmother had been on like a short, what we would call now a short-term missions trip down to, I believe it was North Carolina. And they were in the like the western part of the state, which has more like mountains and stuff. Very poor, poverty-stricken area. And she often would talk about this encounter that she had with this young boy on the side of this dirt road. And, you know, he didn't have any shoes on, no shirt on. I mean, he's obviously poor. You can see his ribs. He doesn't eat that well. And in that moment, the Lord began to awaken something in my grandmother's spirit to minister to folks like that in need. And so they obviously ended up not moving to North Carolina, but to Kentucky, but ministering to that those types of people that that boy represented. The Lord brought something to life in her. And she got that honest because her father, my great-grandfather, and this was a guy who, from what I understand, was quite a character. And in his younger years, you know, he wasn't a believer. He wasn't walking with the Lord. But then Jesus got a hold of him. And things changed. And he did like a 180. And he was on fire for Jesus. And so he grew in his relationship with the Lord. And he matured. And he allowed the Lord to process some things in him. And in his later years, he had a coal business over in Brantsville, and evidently was very successful. And I think I've even shared this before here, but there's an area outside of Carlisle off of Claremont Road. And back in the time period that I'm talking about, it was like a shanty town. Real poor people lived there. It was actually called Dog Patch. And I remember Janet Swarner said that she grew up on a small farm, not far from there. And she knew exactly what I was talking about when I mentioned Dog Patch. But just poor shanty town, people didn't have anything. Well, my great-grandfather, the Lord began to awaken something in him for this area, for Dog Patch. He began to bring something alive in my grandfather. And so he and two other businessmen went together to pay to have a church built in Dog Patch, so that these people would have a place to come and worship the Lord, so that they could grow in their relationship with Jesus. Something came alive in him. Something was awakened in him. And at that point, Grandpa Hare had something to do, had a decision to make. Am I going to step out in this or not? And that's the decision we all have whenever God begins to awaken something in us. Amen? Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. You know, we've been going through this amazing identity series on Wednesday nights with a guy by the name of Ray Light. And we've been learning some great things. And the way it works, for those of you who've been out, you know how it works. We watch a short video, and there's a workbook that we've been going through. And between the stuff in the workbook and the stuff on the video, we have like this discussion, and we've had great attendance and just great participation. And we're learning what our true identity in Christ is. And I think there's even like a shedding of maybe old mindsets or old views that we had of ourselves in place of who we truly are in Christ. What Scripture says our identity is. Like one of the big things that we talked about, and it was really neat because Ray, the author of this series, offered to do a Zoom call, which we did this past Wednesday, and we had a question and answer period. And one of the things that we talked about was this idea that you've heard people say it, oh, I'm just a sinner saved by grace, right? And we talked about that for a bit. And how, you know, what Jesus accomplished on the cross for us and what he offers us through the free gift of salvation, that it's almost a slap in the face to then turn around and say that Jesus accomplished everything on my behalf so that I can now say I'm a sinner, that that's my identity. And that's not my identity. Because as I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as I receive forgiveness of sins, I'm reconciled to God the Father. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yeah, I used to be a sinner. That used to be my identity. But then Jesus changed everything. And because of what Jesus did, now I'm no longer a sinner. Scripture refers to me as a saint. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And I believe that that is awakening in us. God is bringing that alive in us. And as we can more and more walk in that, we can more and more live from our true self, who we were created to be. But there's a decision on our parts. Will we embrace what God says about us or not? As he awakens, as he brings stuff alive in us, what will we choose to do with that, right? So it's a decision on our part, whether we're going to walk in the thing that the Lord is stirring in us, that he is awakening in us or not. And we can look at multiple examples throughout Scripture. We're going to look at a couple right here out of Luke chapter 1. And we're looking at Elizabeth and Mary. And just to kind of refresh our memories, you know, Elizabeth was the wife of the priest Zacharias. And they were up in years. They were beyond childbearing years. And, you know, in the culture of the day, it was a reproach. It was kind of a shameful thing for a woman to not have had children, right? And so here is Elizabeth in her latter years, childless. She's been barren. And the Lord comes and sovereignly causes the miraculous to happen with Zacharias and Elizabeth. And she becomes pregnant. And her son will eventually be John the Baptist, who will usher in the ministry of Jesus, his cousin, the Messiah. And so here is Elizabeth. She is 6 months pregnant. And yay God, right? Like God can do the miraculous. God can do the supernatural. And he does that in Elizabeth's life. And so she's pregnant with John the Baptist. And so then we kind of pick it up there in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 28. Now, this is the encounter that Mary, the mother of Jesus, has with Gabriel. So in verse 28, it says, "And having come in, the angel said to her," said to Mary, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And so Gabriel shows up and tells Mary all of this amazing stuff. I mean, this teenage girl's head must have been spinning, right? I mean, first you encounter an angel. That doesn't happen every day, does it? And then he starts saying, "You're going to have a son," and all this great stuff about him. And she must have been like, "Whoa, what is going on?" And she had some questions, didn't she? Verse 34, "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be? First of all, since I don't know a man, I've never been with a man, I'm a virgin. How am I going to be pregnant if I haven't done what it takes to be pregnant?" Right? Which is a pretty good question, I'd say. Right? And I'm sure she probably had a million other questions as well. But in verse 35, it says, "And the angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.' Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And I've shared this before. I've preached out of this passage even within the past few months. And of course, we understand that Mary has this question, how can that be? And of course, the angel addresses that and gives her an answer. But does she understand it all at that point? Heck no. Does she still have a million other questions rolling around in her head? Probably. Would you? I would. How can this be? You know, even the answer that Gabriel gave her, the Spirit of God will overshadow you. Well, what's that look like? What's that going to, you know? That's kind of a vague thing. But what he said at the end is really kind of the emphasis of it all. "Look, I've done the supernatural in your relative, Elizabeth. She who was called barren, look, she's in her sixth month carrying this baby boy right now. Because with God, nothing will be impossible." There was a stirring, an awakening, a yearning, just naturally in Elizabeth's heart to have a child. And then God came and made that possible to happen. And I believe that Elizabeth embraced that, right? She embraced what God was doing. There was some step of faith, if only in her heart, to align with what God was doing in her body by carrying this baby, right? Because with God, nothing will be impossible. Now, that didn't answer all the questions that Mary had, but you can hang your hat on that. I'm going to have a son. He's going to be the Son of the Most High. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to cause me to conceive. I don't get it all, but I do get this. With God, nothing will be impossible. So based on that, I'm saying yes. Based on that, this thing that you're awakening in me, this thing that you're bringing alive in me, I'll say yes to and step out into it. Because I know that with God, nothing will be impossible. And here we see Mary's response in verse 38, one of my favorite scriptures. "Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." This encounter that she has with Gabriel awakens something inside of her. It brings something to life. Because she knew, as a Jewish girl, that they're looking for the Messiah, right? Her whole life she's been hearing about this coming Messiah. And now she's got to be like, "Are you kidding me? That's going to be my son?" And I don't even know if she had that much understanding at this point of who her son was going to be. But she just knew, because with God, nothing will be impossible. And so based on that, I can step out. So let's read on in verse 39. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. I just love this. I love this. Mary has this encounter with this angel who tells her she's going to do impossible things. And based on with God, nothing will be impossible, she steps out. And then when she speaks to her relative, something leaps inside of Elizabeth. And she's filled with the Holy Spirit. This young woman, Mary, who said yes to God, now the words that she speaks causes something to come alive in Elizabeth. Could it be that as we say yes to God, as we say yes to the impossible that He's asking us to do, and as we step out in that, that now He has a vessel that He can flow through to affect others? Now He has a vessel that He can flow through to bring things alive in other people, to awaken things in other people. I'm just kind of putting that out there, right? You know, I felt last Sunday night that God wanted to heal and that His anointing was there to heal. And as I stepped out into that, somebody got healed that we weren't even praying for. Right? Because He had awakened something in me, and I'm stepping out in faith in it. God can use that in a powerful way. Not just Mary, not just Elizabeth, but folks at CLCC as well. As we respond to the thing that He is awakening in us, that He's bringing alive in us, He can use that in a powerful way. I mean, we could look at somebody like David. You know, because here's the thing. Like, is it that we always hear clearly from God? Or is it that sometimes He just awakens something in us and we take a step and we realize that God's in it, and so we take another step? It's like my wife. You know, Trisha's had some mental health challenges over the years. And she was at another job a couple of years ago. And she started to have something awaken in her, this desire to help people that are dealing with mental health issues where she was maybe years ago. You know, she's been able to progress and is at a place now where she can now turn around and help others. And this thing was starting to come alive in her. Now, did the skies part and there were trumpets that sounded and an angel came down and said, Trish, go become a certified peer specialist? No. But she had something stirring inside of her. And so we continued to pray about it and said, God, would You lead us by Your peace? When God's in it, You'll have peace about the matter. And so we had peace. And we took a step. And we found out that, well, there's some classes that you got to take. And so we looked into the classes, and there was peace. And then we found out when the classes were. And there continued to be peace, and we continued to go in the direction of this thing that was being brought alive inside of her. And she's now a certified peer specialist with this company in Carlisle, and she is helping people that are really in a bad place where she was how many years ago. What's the point? The point is she didn't have a Gabriel encounter. Nevertheless, God was stirring something within her. He was bringing something alive in her. And as we stepped out in it, we had peace and we continued to kind of follow the breadcrumbs. Amen? We could look at David, who had a similar experience. He was sent by his father, go up, take this food to your brothers and check on them. See how things are going up at the at the fighting, at the war. And he shows up, and of course we know that's when they were kind of at a standstill, and this challenge had been put out there by Goliath, and the army of Israel was really just scared to death of that situation. And something, the Lord began to awaken something in David. Amen? Like, this can't be. We are the people of God. We can't let, I don't care how big he is, we can't let him intimidate the army of God. This can't be. And the Lord was bringing something alive in David. Now, did he have a Gabriel encounter? I don't think so. But the Lord was birthing something in David, and he stepped out and had an amazing victory, not only for himself, but for the entire nation of Israel, as he was willing to step out in it by faith. The thing that the Lord was awakening inside of him. And so what I'd like to do is just spend a few moments before we go into communion. And I just want to kind of open it up. Ashton, if you want to play that background music, you can. And I just want to hear from some folks. Look, our numbers are a little small, so we can have kind of an intimate time here. And I just want to hear, because this is going to encourage all of us. And what I'd like you to share is just a time where you feel like the Lord spoke to you and you stepped out and said yes to it. Or there was something that started to stir in you, and as you stepped out in it, you continued to have peace and you saw that God was in it. And here's the result of that. Like, for example, you know, the Lord's had me in this season of prayer. And he said, if you'll come to the mountain, I'll speak to you. So I've been going up to Pine Grove Furnace State Park, and he laid it on my heart to do a discipleship weekend. And so I had my first discipleship weekend a couple weekends ago, where a friend of mine from Chambersburg, who I do ministry with, we invited some young guys to go up to this cabin at Fuller Lake, and we poured into these guys for that weekend. And everyone was encouraged. Pastor Steve came up Saturday night, prophesied over the guys, did a mini sozo with one of the guys. It was so good. It was so fruitful. But it all started as I was intentional of meeting with God. And then as he began to bring something alive in me, as he began to awaken in me this idea of having this discipleship weekend, I stepped out in faith and did it. And this is the result. And I believe that there's going to be many more of these. I believe it's going to be critical for the move of God that we're in to have these types of discipleship weekends. And so, as an example, that's kind of one thing that God awakened in me that I stepped out in. Who has something that they'd like to share? I'd love to hear from Karen about going up to the Dream Center. Because for those who might not know, this woman is amazing. And the stuff that she does at the Dream Center is no small feat. So can you share with us how that all came about? I know I'm putting you on the spot, Karen.
Well, we came back to church here. After a little absence, we came back to church here. And I was leading a ministry at the other church, or not leading, but helping with that ministry at the church we went to before we came back here. And I was doing a clothing ministry for the homeless. And I was keeping all of the clothes at my house, and I have no basement. So it was pretty all over the place anyway. And they kind of disbanded, everybody kind of disbanded the ministry. People kind of got discouraged. They prayed with people. Some people got saved, and then they would see them go back to their ways and things like that. And mm-hmm. You know, a lot of them got discouraged, and then they disbanded. So we also was figuring that the distance that we were going to church, and Mom was getting older, and we were finding out, especially in the winter, that couldn't make the hill that we were going to mm-hmm. Too much anymore. So we came back, and I was praying about something to open up that I could still do a clothing ministry. Mm-hmm. Really, this is really God.
Yeah.
Because the first Sunday that we came back here, Richie was here. The first Sunday. And I talked to him right after the service. And we met for coffee and had a nice chat. Uh-huh. And he didn't have his building yet. But I started meeting down at the Hawks Plaza or whatever, and we
up in the hill there at 13th Street.
Yeah, I yeah. started going out and going into the community, and we had like a refreshments and talking to people, and you know, just meeting people in the neighborhood, and that's how that started.
Yeah.
But then he got the building and everything, and then we started doing uh-huh. the clothing ministry, and now I'm kind of getting more involved, and it seems like a little bit of baby steps kind of getting there, because now I'm leading the Bible study that they have on Tuesdays a lot of the times, and I'm getting a real good rapport with a lot of the community people that are there, and I'm really getting connected to them, and a lot of the people that are saved, you know, and I can help them. Because I did have a couple of, real close encounters with them where they've really opened up and shared their soul. Mm-hmm. And it just, you know, really encouraged me, yeah. you know, that I didn't feel like I had, like, what it took, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, to go out and to witness to people or to maybe even bring them to the Lord. But I know one instance where we were up in the clothing closet, and the one girl was sharing some things that was going on in her life, and she says, you know, I really need to go to church and go to the altar. And I said, you don't need to go to church and go to an altar. We can do this right here,
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
So we were behind a whole bunch of clothes, and she accepted the Lord. And, you know, and that was just beautiful, yeah. you know. And then after it was over, it was like, you know, God used me,
yeah.
and it's such a remarkable thing, you know, when God used you for something like that. So
yeah.
I just encourage everybody to go out on that limb, because God gives you what to say.
Yeah.
If you think you don't know, have the words, I didn't think I had the words.
Right.
He gives you what to say.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much, Karen. Love that. Anyone else? I really believe, as we kind of share these experiences, that it can actually birth something in somebody else as we hear the testimony of what God does in somebody's life. I just love that He was stirring that in you. He was bringing that alive. He was awakening something, this desire to minister to folks who have needs. Yeah, first you're afraid, yeah.
And now you want to.
Yeah.
You've seen the fruit.
Absolutely. And she's helping with practical needs, with clothing, with toiletries. She's leading Bible studies. I mean, praying, leading people to the Lord. As she stepped out and said yes to the thing that God was awakening within her. So thank you, Karen. Good stuff. Anyone else before we wrap up? Yes, Marty, please. Would love to hear from you. Yes, yes, yes. Here you go, dear lady.
Yeah. Excuse me. At the beginning of the end of December, I always take time to say to the Lord, what's your agenda? What do you want me to do in the new year? And I kept getting the feeling that I was to reach out to some friends and some acquaintances that I had in the Shippensburg area where I live. And so, as I began to further pray on that, Pastor Steve talked about establishing connection groups right where we live. And so, as I prayed further with that, the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to begin to speak to some of these younger women and some older ladies. And as of, I think it was the beginning of either the end of January or early February, I started the connection group in my home with five of us, and we're doing a book on spiritual hunger. But out of that, it's not that we're going through a booklet, it's that I'm establishing relationships with these gals,
yeah.
and they are opening up, and that we are beginning to pray for one another. And we had such dramatic answers in the last couple weeks where jobs were needed, changes were needed, and God amply provided. And also people that were going through a period of grief because of the death of a partner, God is establishing stability and strength. And so I'm just saying, I said to them the last time we met, are you sure you want to meet during the summer? And they said, yeah, we want to keep going. So it's God's timing for God to have us individually ask him, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. And he will open the door at the right time. So I thank the Lord for his faithfulness and for these new relationships that are in my life.
Mm-hmm. Love that. What can God do as we say yes to the thing that he is bringing alive in us or awakening within us? I would say the sky's the limit, you know? So before we go to communion, anyone else want to share anything? Don't want to belabor the point, but yeah, I want to give opportunity. Sharon, we'd love to hear from you. Yep. I believe this is stirring faith in us.
As most of you know, I retire.
It should be on.
I retired, and people have already asked me, well, how's retirement going? I said, well, I really can't say because it's like summer vacation from school right now.
Yeah.
In fact, the first one to really ask me, you know, well, what am I going to do was Emmanuel, my son. Mm. I said, well, you know, I really haven't actually thought about it. But I said, I'd probably just enjoy life for a little bit, okay? And some people have told me, don't commit to anything for a year. But as I got to thinking, you know, I'll have the time. And I sort of think what, you know, the Lord's stirring in my spirit is to go visit widowed people, okay? Especially women, mm-hmm. okay? And I sort of think that's what he's stirring within my spirit. I have already put together a list, and I don't know how many people I have on that list already. So just pray, you know, the Lord will bless, the Lord will make a way, and give me the words to speak.
Yeah.
Okay?
So, yeah. And I can't imagine, I mean, like when you say to go visit, you know, widows and folks like that, I mean, these widows, you know, sometimes there's extended family that they're connected with. So it's not just the person you're going to. It's the extended family. It's their neighbors. It's their friends. It's like the impact is even beyond the person you're going to minister to. Although that's very important. I guess what I'm saying is I feel like the Lord is going to even expand beyond the person that you're going to see, you know, and that there's going to be just unusual connections that he's going to bring about as you step out in this. So I'm excited for you, Sharon. Yeah, it's going to be good. Well, I want to thank you all for sharing. And I believe that the Lord is awakening some stuff in us, bringing some stuff alive. The way that that baby leaped inside of Elizabeth's womb, there's some stuff that's leaping inside of us. There's going to be in the next days and weeks and months to come, the Lord's going to cause some things to leap inside of us. And I just want to encourage us all to step out in faith, because as the angel told Mary, with God, nothing will be impossible. Amen? Amen.